Of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. While you're finding your place, if we have any kind of graduates here today, high school or college, would you please stand just a moment? Any kind of graduates here, would you please stand? All right, God bless you. I salute you, and I salute your teachers for putting up with you. Amen. Yes, congratulations. And I encourage you, whether you're graduating from high school, college, whatever the case may be, let this be a turning point in your life. What I mean by that is don't let this cause you to drop out of church and think nobody can tell you what to do now, that you're your own man, your own lady. Listen, you ought to do more for God as long as you live. And stay with it. Stay with it. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1. I don't know about you, but I am having a time going through the book of Nehemiah. This is an outstanding book, and God's using it in the life and ministry of our church. He really is, and I appreciate that so much. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. It came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, took great indignation, mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of the captivity. Cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builder. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches there began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." I preached to you this morning on this subject, overcoming opposition. Overcoming opposition. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll be dealing with discouragement. But this morning we're overcoming opposition. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Father, help us now. May the will of God be done. Thank you for this great number coming out. Help them to get something from your word. Help me to be faithful in feeding the flock. And may you help us to learn the lessons that you'd have us to learn. May you be pleased today. Somebody here that's not saved, may today be the glorious day where they walk the aisle, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. May your will be done. Defeat Satan and his evil spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. We've come to chapter 4 in this wonderful book of Nehemiah. And the last time we met about this book, we were considering chapter 3, in which the people had been challenged to do their individual part of the wall. Nehemiah had heard about and seen the destruction of the wall. He rallies the people and shares the vision that the Lord has placed on his heart. In chapter 3, we saw how the people responded to the challenge and begins to build their section of the wall. Things are going good. God's work is being done. God's people are stirred and working for the glory of God. However, we've come to chapter 4. And we see opposition to this glorious work arising again. You know, it's time that we all understand something. And that is that anything that's done for God will be opposed. It will be opposed. There are those in this day who did not like the work of God being done back here in the book of Nehemiah. And there are still those today who do not like it when God's work prospers. There is opposition to the work of God. In the same way, there are those today who will oppose anything done for the Lord. Among these would be the devil himself, who is a staunch opponent to the work of God. As a matter of fact, in this church, when God's children get excited about building their part, not the whole wall, just their part of it, which is starting to happen. I'm talking about people are getting excited around this place. They're saying, I can do that. Yes, I'd like to do that. Sure, God is working through the book of Nehemiah. The devil is not happy. When God's children get burdened to use their talents for the Lord, the devil will not like that. When God's children get stirred up to do something for God, the devil is not happy. He will do anything he can to oppose the progress of the building of the wall. Now, in our text, we not only see the work being opposed, but we also see how Nehemiah and the others get it, overcame this opposition, and kept on working for God. Alan Redpath said this. He said, Nehemiah's courage and determination in the face of opposition, his complete faith in God, his passion for the service of his Lord, all of these things point him out as a man in a million, a man whose life is worth emulating, whose character is worth our close scrutiny and examination. Now, I want to look at these 9 verses together and consider overcoming opposition. Understand this, whether you're doing something for God in your family, in your personal life, in the life of this church, it's going to have some opposition. And you need to learn how to overcome it. You need to know how to overcome opposition in the will and the work of Almighty God. Only have 2 points, but I've got about 14 under those 2 points, so stay with me. I'm just kidding. Close, but stay with me. Number one, let's notice the opposition. Overcoming opposition. We're going to look at the opposition. Number two, we're going to look at the overcoming. Simple. See what I'm saying? Let's look at the opposition first. Before we get to the real point of the message, which is how to overcome opposition in the work of God, it's important that we place the opposition taking place under a spiritual microscope and learn some things about it. As a matter of fact, I see 4 things that summarize the opposition in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Number one, under this, we see the timing of this opposition. Look at verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth to great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now notice in this verse how Sanballat started to oppose this work as soon as he heard about it. Now this goes to show that when progress and success is being made in the work of God, the opposition will rear their ugly head. Sanballat did not like the work of God that was being done. He did not like the success that they were having in building the walls. Now, in the same way, any time the work of the Lord is being done in your life, in your family, or in our church, the opposition is going to arise. This is just the way it has been. And it still is today. Some people, get this, serve the Lord as long as it's easy. But they want no part of opposition. Let me say loud and clear that anything done for God will have opposition. And if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you better be ready to be opposed. It might come from your own family. It may come from a coworker. It may come from a fellow student. It may come from a boss. It may come from somebody in this church who does not like it when we try to gain more ground for God. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I do know this. The timing of the opposition is as soon as they hear about the progress. As soon as they hear it. And we need to understand that the opposition has a timing when they're going to step in and try to hinder the work. But number two, we notice the target of it. In verses 1 through 3, you're not going to read it for time's sake, and also verses 7 and 8, we see a target of this opposition. Now, you say, what are you talking about? Here's what I mean. Why did they oppose the work? In other words, why were these people opposing this work that pleases God? What was their aim? What were they targeting? What were they trying to do? What were they trying to accomplish? Get this. I believe with all my heart that the answer is they did not want to lose their dominion. And they did not want to lose the power they had over these people. They did not want these people to be free. They wanted to rule over these people and to keep them in bondage. Sound familiar? The devil, get this, folks, the reason he opposes the progressing work of God is he does not want to lose ground. He does not want to lose his grip over the souls of man. He wants to keep others in his cruel bondage. He doesn't want people to be free in Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying to you, I was visiting in a home yesterday. I have a dear friend of mine who I went to school with. They were visiting last week, he and his wife and his teenage boy. Their teenage boy. All three of them wrote on the back of their card they had trusted Christ. I went by and he and his wife had already trusted Christ. They were just wanting to rededicate their life. But he looked me right in the face yesterday and he said, I believe he trusted Christ in your church Sunday. I believe he really got saved. Now here's the thing. When people work and people invite and people start gaining ground for God, they start saying, I'll build my part of the wall. I'll use my influence. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. Yes, I'll take that part. I can do that part. I can do that part. What happens is the wall starts going up. Action starts taking place. The work of God starts getting done. And the devil starts losing ground. And he does not like that. He wants to keep his bondage on this world. But when God's people get up and get busy and do something for God, we are taking ground for God Almighty. And I like it whenever God's ground is being taken and the devil's ground is being bombarded and we're marching and we're taking more ground and we're taking more ground and we're taking more ground. I like that when that happens. The devil does not like that. He was opposing. They were opposing this. Their target was that they didn't want to lose control. They wanted to have it in their own bondage. And the devil's the same way. Luke 22:31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We see right here, we see the timing of this opposition was as soon as they heard about it. We see the target of this opposition was that they didn't want to lose any ground. And number three, we see the team of this opposition. In verse number 7, notice it. It came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, Ammonites, Ashdodites heard. Now the interesting thing to note here is how when the opponents of this work, by the way, the opponents were at the beginning of this book, in the middle of this book, you name it, they're there. They're there. But it's interesting that the first time the opponents of this work were mentioned, it was in chapter 2, verse 10. There were only two of them. Sanballat and Tobiah. The next time they were mentioned is chapter 2, verse 19. There's now three of them. Geshem has joined ranks. But you come to chapter 4, and the wall is almost halfway done. Verse number 6, it gets to halfway. Which tells me that before this, it was close to halfway done. There's not three, there's a whole army. A whole army. This goes to show that when the workers for the Lord increase, so do the workers for the opposition. Get this. You are in one of the two armies today. You are either building the wall or you're opposing it. There's no middle ground. No middle ground at all. I want to ask you a question. Which group are you in? The team of this opposition, they were joining ranks. They were getting more people involved with them. And you know, isn't it ridiculous when the opposition has more team members than the wall builders do? Amen. It's time that the workers for God put the workers for the opposition to shame. By the way, the opposition workers, they're so bold. I'll get to that in just a minute. But yet God's children are so timid. Oh, I don't want to be classified as a fanatic. Oh, I just don't know about this. I tell you what, I don't mind doing this, but
I'm not going to step out and do that because, you know, I might get laughed at. I might get ridiculed. I might get mocked. You know, I'm glad the Lord didn't let that stop him. When he was laughed at, when he was mocked, when he was ridiculed. And all I'm saying to you is we see the team of this opposition. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Number four, we notice the tactics of this opposition. In verses 1 through 3 and 7 and 8, in these verses, the Holy Spirit of God inspired these words to expose to us how the opposition to God's work acts in order to get his own selfish way. Now, in these verses, we see several different tactics. I'm going to give you two of them. And these tactics are still being used today. Still being used. Sanballat begins to speak before his brethren and the army of Samaria. And the interesting thing about this is that when he was speaking to his brethren and these dear people, he was spreading his propaganda, if you will, and his contempt to the government. He's trying to get others to join forces with him to stop the progress of God's work. I share with you two tactics they used to try to stop the progress. First of all, they used mockery. We see this in verses 1 through 3. Look at it. It came to pass when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth, took great indignation, mocked the Jews. There it is, mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews?" So he's mocking them right there. They're weak. Will they fortify themselves? He's mocking their work right there. Will they sacrifice? He's mocking their worship right there. Will they make an end in a day? He's mocking their enthusiasm right there. You see what he's doing? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which they burn, which are burned? This guy's mocking. Look at verse number 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite, who is a spineless man. He's spineless, folks. All he does is jump on the bandwagon. Notice what he says. Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. If that's the case, why are they worried about it? If that's the case, why are they worried about it? He's saying, I tell you one thing, that wall is so flimsy that if a fox got up on top of it, the weight of the fox would crumble it. They're grasping for straws here, folks. They're scared. They're scared. And what they're doing, they're trying to mock. They're trying to ridicule. They're trying to scorn. Why? Because maybe if they can hurt their feelings, they'll stop working. Oh, whoa. I'll knock on doors, but do you know what he said to me? I'll tell you what, I'll never go back to that church again because nobody shook my hand. I'll never knock doors again because somebody slammed the door in my face. That's the tool of mockery. And if they can get you to stop by mocking you, you listening? You're not very strong. Neither am I. Some people have the mistaken idea that God's work is easy. God's work, and I say this, if God's work is so easy, why aren't more people doing it? It's not easy. I'd be lying to you if I stood up here and said the work of God is easy. But I'd be lying to you if I didn't go on to say this, it's the only way to go. Because God's help is with you, and God is much bigger than they are. I'm getting ahead of myself, but what I'm saying to you, they used the tactic of mockery. They laughed, they mocked, they made fun of them. But that didn't work. And when it didn't work, they went to force in verses 7 and 8. But it came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, Ammonites, Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth. Notice verse number 8. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Notice in these verses, we see how the opposition, get this, went from words to war. When their mockery did not work to stop the progress, they resorted to force. They were going to try and force the people to stop working on the wall. You know what this goes to show? It goes to show that the evil will use any means possible to try and stop the progress of the Lord's work being done. They will. It's happening in America. It's happening overseas. They'll try to use words. They'll try to use war. A biblical example of this is the battle of David and Goliath. And what I mean by that, David is in that valley of Elah. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The giant comes out. He is an enemy of God Almighty. He's mocking. He's ridiculing. And the first thing he said to David whenever he saw him in that valley is he tried to intimidate him. He tried to mock him. He said, "Am I a dog that they would send some runt like you to come out and fight the mighty giant Goliath?" David looked at him and was not intimidated. At that time, what did the giant do? The Bible said the giant charged David. He went from words to war. But when the giant charged David, you know what David did? He charged the giant. David's either crazy or has faith in God, and I think I know which one it is. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47, I believe it is, he looked that giant right in the face and he said, "This battle, big boy, is the Lord's battle." And when the giant went from words to war, David took his sling and slung a stone and God implanted it in that forehead and David cut his head off. You know what we need? We need some people who are ready for war. That's what we need. I'm not talking about fighting anybody that comes down the pike. But I'm saying whenever the opposition rises and they come and fight, we're not going to lay down. We're going to contend for the faith. No doubt about that. That's the opposition. We've noticed the timing of their opposition. We have noticed the target of their opposition, the team of their opposition, and the tactics of this opposition. Now we come to the message. And that is the overcoming. Because the message is overcoming opposition. There is opposition, but how do you overcome it? We've considered it, talking about the opposition, how they worked. Now we turn our attention on the overcoming of this for all of us to learn from. And in these verses, verses 4 through 6 and verse number 9, there are three things I see that help Nehemiah and these dear people to overcome this opposition. Now these same three things need to be used by God's people. Doing God's work in order to overcome opposition that we face. Whether it's opposition in your marriage, whether it's opposition in this church, whether it's opposition in your own individual life, every work of God, everything that is the will of God, the work of God, it will be opposed. How do you overcome it? How do you live in victory over it? Number one, go to God in prayer. We see this in verses 4, 5, and verse 9. It says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they provoke thee to anger before the builders." Verse 9. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Right off the bat, we see that the answer to this opposition, get this, don't miss this. If you don't hear any statement I make today, don't miss this statement. We see the answer to this opposition is not found in the work of God. It's found in the God of the work. Let me say it again. The answer to opposition is not found in the work of God. No, it's found in the God of the work you're doing. And what I mean by that is Nehemiah could have felt like taking matters into his own hands. He could have felt like wringing necks. But rather, he released it on the Lord. We see him praying. And in this prayer, in verses 4 and 5, Nehemiah pours out his heart before the Lord for his help. And he realizes that unless the Lord fights this battle, it will not be won. Now in this first prayer, verses 4 through 5, Nehemiah praying, we see the importance for the leaders to be in prayer. Someone has said, it's not our organizing or our advertising, but our agonizing in prayer that makes the difference. That's a great statement. It is time we understand that we are no match for the opposition. It's time that we understand that whatever opposes us, the answer is not to say, "Bring it on, Big Daddy, come on." That's not the answer. The answer is to take that opposition and go to God and say, "God, help me with this. I can't take this. You fight this battle." Go to God in prayer. Man, I'm convicted right here. How many times we get so caught up in taking matters in our own hands. Oh, I'll just do it because I want to do it. I'll commit myself. I'm not going to give in. I'll never do that again. And before you know it, you've done it right over again. Why? Because you bypass number one. Go to God. Beg God to help you. Ask God to help you with this opposition. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. James 4:2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. In this first prayer, we see the importance of the leaders praying. In the home, how important is it for the husband to be a prayer warrior? How important is it for the parents who are leading the children to be a prayer warrior? In the work of the church, how important is it for the pastor to be in the prayer closet? I'm talking about for the deacons to be in the prayer closet, the deacons' wives to be in the prayer closet, the Sunday school teachers to be in the prayer closet. I'm talking about the bus workers being in the prayer closet. I'm talking about the leaders of this church need to be summarized, that we pray and we talk to God and we beg God. And when opposition comes, we don't try to fight it first. No, we go draw our strength from God first, pour our heart out to God, and God will fight our battles, and God will keep the building going, and God will get the victory, and God will be praised when it's all said and done. That is what the Christian life's about. Go to God. Then in the second prayer we see here in verse number 9, it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. In this we see it was not only Nehemiah praying, but now the people have joined him. And this goes to show that as the opposition intensified, so did the prayers of the people. Good night alive. I'm talking about as the opposition started building ranks, started building forces, started building strength, then more people joined the prayer closet. More people got into the prayer closet. And more people started pouring their heart out to God. You know what we need at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? We've got a great church. God is working. God is moving. God is saving people. But what we need praying people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We need to get alone with God. Can you imagine listening to them pray at this time? Can you imagine being with them at this time and listening to them pray? I don't think they were saying, "Oh Lord, just help us if you will." I believe these people were getting a hold of God. They were pouring their heart out to God. They were desperate. They needed the Lord. In the same way, we all must realize that we need to come together in our families, come together in this church, and pour our hearts out to the Lord. Whether it's a family or a church coming together, we need to pray in order for the work to progress in the face of opposition. God worked and moved last week. Amen. He moved in such a wonderful way. I believe he's moving today, but he moved in such a wonderful way. Let me tell you one reason I believe he moved. Because many of us took it upon us to be praying for many days in advance. Every day, God helping us to remember it, to pray for that day. At 6 o'clock, together, it was later on for me, because I was in a meeting. But at 6 o'clock, our church came together for 30 minutes, wherever they were at, in their homes, workplace, wherever they could get away, and they begged God to show up last week. And he did. It still works going to God, folks. Go to God in prayer. Major point number 2, keep on building. In the face of opposition, go to God in prayer and keep on building. Look at verse number 6. Now notice what's going on. The opposition is mocking. They're conniving. But notice verse number 6. So built we the wall. So we just built the wall. And all the wall was joined together in the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now in this verse we see how these people, in the midst of this opposition, just kept on building. They did not just pray, but they kept working. They had this attitude. in the face of opposition, mockery, force, all of this, in the midst of it, they had this attitude. Pass me another brick, boys. Give me another brick. I'm running out over here. Pass them on down the line. Let's get this building built. Let's get this wall up. Boy, God give us Christians like that. This goes to show that they didn't quit. They kept on going in the face of the enemy. As a result of this, the work was not diminished, but it progressed. Now think about it. I mean, how disheartening would this have been for the opposition? The opposition said, hey, let's just laugh at them, mock at them. That'll probably stop them. If that doesn't stop them, we'll threaten them. We'll fight with them. And in the midst of this, instead of them stopping, give me another brick, boys. Pass me another along over there, boys. And in the middle of this opposition, when they thought it was going to hinder it and stop it, it's getting bigger. And the work is increasing. You know that can still happen today. God wants to thrive in the face of opposition. And he can. How? When the people had a mind to work. You know what the word mind there means? It means heart. You know what this tells me? Their heart was in this work. Not just their hands. They saw the purpose of it. They saw the importance of it. And because of that, their heart was in it. And because their heart was in it, opposition couldn't stop it. You may tell you why a lot of people stop on God. Their heart's not in it. They do it out of duty. They do it because they feel bad if they don't. But if they do or they don't, it doesn't really matter, because what difference can they make anyway? You listening to me? God's not looking for people like that. God's looking for people who will say, God, here's my heart. You can have it. Put it wherever you want it. And when God puts it in you to do something for him, you can't help but do something for God, folks. You can't help it. God had these people, and their heart was in the right place. And because their heart was in the right place, they kept on building in the face of opposition. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor knowledge, nor device, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now in the same way, get this, when opposition comes to the work of God, we need to make up our minds that we will not quit or give up, but rather allow the Lord to progress his work. Get on our knees in the prayer closet, give our whole heart to the work, and say, give me another brick. I'm not quitting. Amen, folks. Stay with it. Then number three under this, we're looking at the overcoming. Go to God in prayer. Keep on building. Keep on working. And then number three, set a watch. We see this in verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of it. Nehemiah made his prayer to God and put his confidence in the Lord. However, he also told the people to set a watch and not be surprised by an attack of the opponent. Now, here's the picture in this. They were to put their trust in the Lord and be ready at any time to fight for the work that they were engaged in. This goes to show that the Lord expects us to pour our hearts out to him, but then be aware and be on the lookout for the enemy. Let me illustrate it by saying this. You can pray all day long, God, help me to be safe in my automobile. Help this to be a safe journey. But if you don't watch your driving habits, that's not God's fault. That's your fault. Well, God, so I prayed, ask him to help me. How fast were you going? 100 and a 25 mile an hour zone? You might have prayed, but you certainly wasn't watching in that. Another illustration, just to kind of get you what the point is here. You can pray that your ends will meet. I'm talking about financially. Oh, God, meet my needs. Oh, God, help my ends to meet. Then you take your credit card and go buy that boat that you know you don't have the money for. You take your credit card and add on to your house. You know you don't need it, but you want it.
And then you don't have enough money to pay for your bills. You say, well, the preacher told me pray about it and God take care of me. Wait a minute. God does take care of you. And you do need to pray. But you also need to set a watch and make sure you realize, wait a minute, that's the evil one. Wait a minute, this thought that's going through my mind, that's the opposition. Good night, there he comes. There he is. In other words, you don't go into the prayer closet like this. Oh, God, show me my enemies. Oh, God. No, you're walking around with your eyes wide open saying, God, let me see my enemy. I'm looking for him. Who is he? Who is she? And God will say, there he is. There she is. There's the devil. There it is. No, that's of me. Wait a minute. Keep your eyes open. Do you understand what I mean by that point? Set a watch. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Be on guard for the enemy's attack at any moment. Be on the lookout for the enemy. Don't fall asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be awake. Be alert. Be on the lookout. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, no leader is exempt from criticism. And his humility will nowhere be seen more clearly than in the manner in which he accepts or rejects it. The work of God has opposition. Whether it be an individual, a family, a church, anytime the work of God is being done and progressing, the opposition will rear its ugly head. They will use words and resort to war if they have to. However, as we stay on our knees and keep on working and keep our eyes open, the Lord can make His work prosper even in the midst of opposition. Now, let's all determine that we will do what the Lord wants and overcome opposition. May God help us to see that it's only in giving it to God that you can overcome the opposition. Amen. May the Lord drive it on our hearts. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, please. God bless this time. Help us as we draw this to a close. And I pray as we share this invitation, I pray that you'll work and that you'll move. I ask for the will of God to be done. And help us all, Lord Jesus, to understand that the work of God is going to be opposed. But we can overcome it by going to God in prayer. Keep on building the wall. And set a watch and make sure that we see the enemy coming. Help me now, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. First thing is first, and that is this: are you in the family of God? Are you in the family of the overcomers? Or are you in the family of the opposition? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you a child of God? If you're here today and you say, Jody, I'm glad I can say that. I am a child of God. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I am saved. I am born again. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I am going to heaven. No doubt about it. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Thank you. If you could not raise your hand, you can put your hands down. If you could not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. You know, it all starts with being honest with God. It really does. And I appreciate your honesty. Is there somebody here today you say, Jody, I'm being honest. I couldn't raise my hand to that. Now, let me say this before I ask this question. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. I promise you that. But if you say, Jody, I'm being honest, I could not raise my hand to that question. I couldn't do it.
I could not do it. Be an honest person again. Would you please, would you raise your hand in the air now? You say, Jody, this is me. I could not raise my hand saying that I know that I'm a child of God. Anybody at all, I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Then let me ask you this. Are you building your part of the wall? It may be in your family. It may be in this church. It may be in your own individual life. What I mean by the wall is the will of God for your life. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Are you fulfilling it? Are you trying to reach other people? The wall around this church is soul winning. That's what I'm emphasizing. Trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not, why don't you start? You say, I don't know what to do. Then we'll help you find your part of the wall. May the Lord help us with this. Let me ask this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian and I'm working. But I know in my own heart that I'm being opposed. There is opposition that I'm facing. And you recognize it. You realize this is opposition. It may be a thought process. It may be your own mind. It may be your own actions, whatever. It may be somebody from the outside. It may be the devil attacking you, whatever the case may be. You say, Jody, I'm working. I'm doing what God wants me to do. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm being opposed. And I know that. Opposition. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Be an honest person. Well, that's a lot of hands. God bless you. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me just a moment. You can put your hands down, but I want you to listen to me. The answer for you is not to make up your mind. The answer for you is to get along with God. Pour your heart out to the Lord. And say, what I'm doing that's right, I will not stop. Pass me another brick. I'm not going to let it affect me. By the way, the only reason you can have the strength to say, pass me a brick, is when you spend time first with the Lord and He gives you strength to do that. And then set a watch. Whatever it is you raise your hand about, set a watch so you can see it coming. And say, wait a minute, there it comes. Yes, that's it. Keep your eyes open. May the Lord help you with this. God, help you to respond. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take the message. Use it in a mighty way. Please, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you raise your hand just a moment ago, I'm speaking to you. Why don't you leave your place and come and start your pouring your heart out right here at this altar. As Brother Gary sings, why don't you leave your place and come, please, now, as he sings. Why don't you come now? You say, Jody, this is me. I'm being opposed. Come and pour your heart out to the Lord. Ask God to help you with this. Ask God to help you with this. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you with this. No doubt about it.
Me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
We're playing through. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're almost through. It's amazing how the Lord is using this book in the life of our church. We had a dear lady. I didn't get her permission to do this, so I'm not going to call her name. She had a man who was working at her house, a handyman, helping her fix her house or outside, whatever. She invited him to come to church, found out that he came here as a child on the buses. And my wife and I were out making that visit. They were here last week in the service. His wife made a profession of faith yesterday, trusting the Lord as her Savior. We pray she meant it. That's between her and the Lord. God used that dear lady to simply ask this man at her home, do you go to church anywhere? And through that, he came. They heard the message. And one more is in the family of God if she meant what she prayed. What am I saying? There's no doubt in my mind, I know this lady. She's been opposed in her mind. I know that.
But you keep going to God. You keep on building. You set a watch. God can keep using you in such a wonderful way. Amen.
Tonight, Lord willing, we go to verses 10 to 23, and in that they're discouraged. You ever been there? You ever been discouraged? We're going to be dealing, this is the title of the message, dealing with discouragement tonight. How do you deal with it? It's coming. What do you do with it? That's tonight. God's using this book. In my own heart, what a book. The work is being done. The opposition rises up. In the middle of it, Nehemiah says, I'll hit my knees. I'll go to God. And because of that, God gives them strength. And you hear them crying out, pass me another brick, boys. We're not stopping. And they set a watch and say, look that way, boys. Look that way. There is enemies. Keep your eyes open for them. And let us know when they're coming. And we'll come. And we'll join forces. And we'll defeat them. What a book. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad the Lord is stronger than the opposition, aren't you? Honestly. I'd like for Bryant, Dion, and Gavin, if you'd all stand just a moment, please. These are three of our young boys, young men. I'd like to be called a young man, right? All three of these have trusted Christ as their Savior today. Have you happy for them? Say a big amen. 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 We're happy for you. We're thrilled you're here. Did you ride the buses today? All of you? Yes. Can I say this? We're going to keep those buses on the road. Amen. God bless you. This is the starting point. We want to help you. Stay in here with us, okay? Stay on that bus. Even when it gets hot, stay on that bus, okay? We're glad you're here. God bless you. Please be back tonight. If you're a first-time visitor, please take your card by the Welcome Center. Drop it off. We've got a special gift for you just for saying thank you for being in our services. If you brought a visitor last week, this is available, correct, Charlotte? The cookbooks and the plates. Remember we told you if you just bring one, you get your choice between the cookbook or two plates. We've added a plate to it. It's two separate plates. Those are available back here to my left, your right in the lobby if you'll go by there. Whether you brought one or 100, you just get your choice of one, okay? So you please go by there and get that, and that'd be a great thing. Amen. Very good. Brother Scott Martin, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.